yonim that need a lot of explanation. I'd like to speak today about the two hatoyim in this week's parasha, a little about the chet Adam Arishin, and then a little about the chet of Kayin the Hevel. By Adam, the Rebbeinu Shalom told Adam and Chava that b'yayim, on the day that you're going to eat from the Eitz Hadas, Mois Tomos, that you're going to die on the day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas. At the end, they both ate from the Eitz Hadas, and they didn't die that day. They didn't die on the day that they ate, and that certainly needs an explanation. But the Havayim Nam says, the Teretz, I think Rabbeinu Bachai says, that a day of Hashem is 1,000 years. So Adam lived 1,000 years. It's a teretz, but it's not. It's a more of a drushy teretz, not so much a pshat teretz. Rabbi Chanan brings yisaid from the Drushas Haran, and it's a big yisaid bechlal in understanding the concept of chait, and also in understanding our avodah. What it is that we have to accomplish. But the Ran says very simply that Adam did tshuva. Adam, there was a punishment. The day that you eat from the Eitz Hadas, he's supposed to die. Adam and Chava was supposed to die. But on any Einish min HaShemayim, tshuva helps. And Adam did tshuva, and since he did tshuva, so is Miyad Neskaperloi. So Mimela he lived. Aye. If he did tshuva, so why did he ever die? Why did he ever die? Adam Kaidam Achait was supposed to live forever. So why did Adam, if he did tshuva, why did he die at all? So for this, the Ran sets up his yusayt. He says that in Achait, there are two parts to an Aveira. Anytime somebody does an Aveira, there are two chalokim to the Aveira. One chalok is the merida and the Rabbi Nishalot. The fact that you didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you have to do a certain thing, and you didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a merida, that's a lack of obedience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for that there's an einish, for that there's a punishment, whatever the punishment is for any given chait. But then there's a second thing. The second thing is that the mitzvahs in the Torah and the avairs in the Torah are not arbitrary. Rabbi Nishan didn't just say shake a lulav and an esrig because he couldn't think of anything better to tell us to do. It's in the mitzvahs of the Bria that every mitzvah and every aveira does something. Every mitzvah creates a positive kayach in the Bria. Mitzvahs, it's a fact, a physical fact. And every aveira creates a yurida in the Bria. And that's also a fact. It's not together einish. It's a mitzvahs. There's a mitzvahs that a mitzvah, that a mitzvah, like we say in the Rabbeinu Shalom, we say by Sfiras Haimer, Masakin Esayilamais, Shemichut, Masakin Esayilamais. What does it mean, Masakin Esayilamais? I don't know exactly what it means, but it means that it does something. Every mitzvah does something. So the Ran says there are two dinim in a mitzvah, and there are two things that happen in Aveira. One thing is the einish, which is an einish for a lack of being obedient to HaKadosh Baruch. And for that, the Ran says tshuva helps, and since Adam did tshuva, so he erased the einish. The einish was gone. But there's a second thing. The second thing is that every aveira lamaisa causes a kilkul in the bria. Every time a person does an aveira, it does something to him. It does something. It's a mitzvah in the bria. So if you have a person who goes and he breaks his neighbor's window, and then he feels bad, he does tshuva. So the Rabbi Shalom will be Michael him for breaking it. Somebody has to ask Mechila too. But the window won't become fixed again. Not suddenly that the window is going to be fixed. Whatever happened in the Mitzias, what you broke is broken. And that's a Mitzias in the Bria. So the Ran says that this which is an einish for lack of obedience, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbi Shalom is Michael, you did tshuva. But this which you caused a pagam in the Bria, which every Aveira causes a pagam in the Bria, that's something which is a mitzias. It's a mitzias that doesn't just disappear. It's very hard to get rid of it. It's very hard. There's a level where a person could overcome that too. But that's not it's not an automatic thing that if you do tshuva, it automatically goes away. So Adam's tshuva took away the ayinish that you eat, you have to die. But it did not take away the pagam and the bria. There was already a pagam and the bria that man became mortal, that Adam and Chava became mortal people, people that ultimately die, and that remained. That's the Metzius and the Bria, and that remained, that Adam and Chava ultimately die. That's the Razi side. Rabbi Chanan uses this to explain Kedarkai, a number of halachas. For example, the din of mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, the fact that mitzvahs need kavana. So there's a machlokes, as you know, in the Gemara, mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, if kavana is ma'akev in a mitzvah, if it's not ma'akev in a mitzvah, what's the machlokes? So Rabbi Chanan says, well, if you do a mitzvah without kavana, what does that mean? I mean, let's say you play shofar just for the fun of it. You're playing music, you're blowing shofar. It's a kalish year. So such a person, lemaisa, if you're blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah, the tikkun and the bria is happening. The mitzias is happening. The mitzias, you're blowing shofar. If you do it without kavan. But the other chalik, the part that you're being obedient and listening to Hashem, that's not happening. So you're not doing it with the kavanah to listen to HaKadosh Baruch. So Kozma, you're not doing it with the kavana to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for that, that's missing. So the Mad Yama who says Mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavana, he holds that Avad, it's better if you have kavana. But it's enough if B'mitzias, you're doing the mitzvah. The one who says Mitzvahs Tzrichas Kavana says no. The mitzvah has to have both chalakim. It has to have two things. It has to have the chelik, which is the tikkun and the bria, which is the mitzias of the mitzvah. And it also has to have the chelik, which is showing obedience to Hashem. Showing obedience to Hashem is that you have to know what Rabbi Shalom told you to do it. Or else so he also means the tzrichas kavana, which means you have to have kavana b'shas you do a mitzvah. So here, somebody does mitzvah without a kavana, it's a hechatimtza, where you have the second din, the tikkun and the bria, without the first din, the inyan of being somebody who's obedient to the Rabbi Shalom. You could have a fakarta case as well. There's a chazal which everybody seems to know, that if somebody rotza lases mitzvah, if you want to do a mitzvah, benenas v'lo yasa, my law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu asa. If you meant to do, you wanted to do a mitzvah, and you're not able to do it because you're an aynis, so my law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu asa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at it as if you did. So that seems to say that as long as you want to do the mitzvah, man.
We don't say command.
So I told you last month that we don't say it's a command office. Right? That we don't say that if you're an oinus, it's as if you did the mitzvah. I, the Gemara says, my love of Kadosh Baruch Hu ki luasa. So the Chanan learns that the same thing, just the reverse, it's totally in these two things. There are two parts of a mitzvah. One is the obedience to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And one is the tikkun that the mitzvah tuzas. If you're ratzal lases mitzvah, you wanted very much to do a mitzvah. You went and you got yourself a shofar and you blew as hard as you could to blow shofar and nothing, no sound came out. You couldn't do it. You don't know how to blow. So you're a nitus. You want to be in the person that plays. You can't get anybody else to do it. So the fact that you're the first din, that you're obedient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you wanted to do a mitzvah, you put your effort into it, that you have. Ratzalaseis mitzvah, and my love, Keshbaruch Kiluasa, goes on the chelik that you are obedient to Hashem and you wanted to do the mitzvah. But the second chelik, that every mitzvah does a tikkun in the bria, that you don't have. Because lamaisa, it's a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah, you have a tikkun in the bria. If you didn't do it, the tikkun doesn't exist. So the second thing you don't have. So b'kitzer, what comes out is there are two, every key of mitzvah and every aveira has two parts. The fact that you're showing your ratzon to listen to Hashem. And the mitzias, that whatever it is that the mitzvah tuzayf. Where Rabbi Chanan is saying you could have two cases where you can have one and not the other. If you do mitzvah without a kavana, you have the tikkun, but you don't have the fact that you're obedient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you rot the last mitzvah, so the obedience to Hashem that you have, but the kiyama mitzvah lamaisa, that you don't have. The payim, you don't have it. So this Rabbi Chanan deals with what's really a very difficult philosophical shaila. Well, what's the din? How does the Kodesh Baruch Hu look at it when you have a Rasha? You have a Rasha in the world. They don't care about the Bairi Yalom, they don't care about his mitzvahs, but they're good people. They do a lot of chesed. They save lives. they have tremendous kibbut ava'im, they give tzedakah. How does Rabbi Hashem look at that? It's such a person. Could be a person could have a hamoin of mitzvahs. Could be maybe even more than a daveris. But how does Rabbi Hashem look at that? So the Gemara says, at the end of the first parak in Bava Kama, I think it's after Zion, that Yirmiyahu was misfowl, that when a Rasha gives tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make that it should come into the hands of people that are not in Shibalei Mali. It shouldn't go to good people. That's what the Gemara says. Yirmiyahu had people that were right of him, Anshei Anasais, the people of the city of Anasais. So he was misfowl, let them not be matzliach, that the tzedakah shouldn't come into good hands. What does that help? Ratzalasis mitzvah, the line of the layasa kilawasa. So Bukharan says, no, when a Rasha does a mitzvah, he does chesed. Why is he doing chesed? Because Hashem said, no. He's doing chesed because he has a good heart. Such a person, the chelek mitzvah of obedience to Hashem that he doesn't have. The chelek mitzvah that he's being obedient to the Rabbi Nishalim he doesn't have. Just what does he have? That lamaisa, there's a certain tikkun in the Bria. So for that he was misfowl, let the tikkun b'habriya not take place. And that way what?
That's good for everybody.
That's good for the person who gets the tzedakah too. It's true. But mitzad the Rasha, if the tikkun in the Bria doesn't happen, if there is no tikkun in the Bria, so he's missing both. The obedience he doesn't have because he never had in the first place. Just if he's going to end up giving tzedakah to good people, it'll end up, he'll get tzedakah, and he won't get tzedakah for listening to Hashem, but the tikkun will take place. It was installed that the Rishonim shouldn't have that. The Kamim Mekayach Rishus, they shouldn't have it. And if you look around today, you'll see, I don't say that every Friday Yid is a Rasha, but there's a Hamoin of Rishonim Yidin who give charity to groups that you would call in Shidolei Miley. You know, also support whether the so-called gay groups or it's always the Jewish. It's not always. There's some Jews who have a different sense. But this idea of in Shidolei Mali that you see in the you see sometimes in the world, sometimes you can see it. But anyway, the aside, what?
Hospitals
is could be a good thing, but you know, thank you for animal shelters also. You know. It's very strange plaques and very strange places all over the world. So, somebody put his name on a shopping mall. So what does Rav Hashem think? His name on a shopping mall. So what listen does he have? I don't know. Some they sell good things. At any rate, but the Yisayid HaDavar is, and something we have to understand in Avodas Hashem, is that a mitzvah does something, it creates something. And an Aveira also, Lo'yaleinu, it creates, it's Uzayit, it's Payel, it does something in the Bria. And in our Avodas Hashem, we have to understand it because it's Lamaisa. It's very Lamaisa. There are people who struggle with different areas in Avodas Hashem. Somebody struggles with getting up for davening. Somebody struggles with Kavanah and davening. Someone struggles with Hasmadim and learning. Everybody has areas that they struggle in. Lamaisa, a person feels, you know, I really want. And then something happens. It doesn't come easily. Why? If you really want, why isn't Rabbi Nishalom let it come easily? But there's a mitzias in the Bria that if you're mizalzel in something, if you in the past were over on certain things, there's a certain kilkel that takes place. You have to expect that it's going to be harder for you to be misak. You have to expect it. It's all a chelik in the Bria. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there were two parts to the Bria. There's the chaymer and the tzura. What the Bali Mashava call Chaymer, what's Chaymer? Let's say you want to build a building. So you get cement, you have to make cement. You get sand, then you get water. That's Chaymer. Chaymer is the sand, the water, the bricks. That's the Chaymer. The Tzura is that you put it together into a certain form. You mix the sand and the water, you create cement, you put cement between the bricks. That's Tzura. Or anything you create needs the Chaymer. You bake a cake. So you need flour and water and eggs and sugar. That's the chaymer, and that goes into it. And then you give it a tzura, you give it a form. You mix it, you braid it, you form it, you bake it. When Hashem created the world, there are two parts to the Bria. There's the chaymer. Hashem created every bit of matter in the world. And then there's the tzura. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it a tzura. It's a beautiful world. Hashem created trees and pastures and mountains and valleys. That's the tzura. In the Torah, it doesn't describe anywhere the creation of chaymer. As a matter of fact, the Ramban right away says in the beginning, that Bereishis Bara Elokimus Hashemayim V'Haaretz, everything, all the chaymer and the bria was created at the first day. Everything that's described in the Sheshes Yimei Bereishis is tzura, is to give it form. So the Ramban says Hashem created everything in the beginning, and then Hashem wanted to create man. Hashem didn't make a new Yesh Me'ayin. Hashem took together the sin, and the, however it is, Hashem put together a form of a human being, and he gave it chiyus. So that means all the chaymer was created right at the first instance. When we read the first aliyah, we're going through a description of creating of tzura. The question is, well, why is it that way? If you are God, and you have to create the whole world, so it doesn't sound like the way you would do it. You know, first day you create whatever is needed the first day. Second day, I mean, Hashem understood that it needs 7 days. Why spread it over 10 why, if you're spreading the tzura over 10 amiris, because that's the way Rav Shalom understood, so why not create the chaymer? Why not on the fifth day, snap your fingers or whatever it is Hashem does, and suddenly they have birds? Hashem had to take avir and eretz and mayim and mix it together and make birds. You just snap the fingers and bang, they're birds. Hashem didn't do that. Hashem created everything. The chaymer was created the first day, the first instant, before the bereishis. And then the whole thing is a description of creating, of giving tzura. So I heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro, it's one of his svarim, he said, because we people are supposed to imitate Hashem, the avodah of a human being in this world, mahu rachum afato tei rachum, everything we do is v'halachta v'drachav. It's to do what the Rabbi Shalom did. It's not our job to create chaymer. We can't create chaymer. We can't create yesh me'ayin. It's not our job to create something from nothing. Our job is to take what we have and give it surah, and give it form. That's what the Rambam is saying. That when you do a mitzvah, you create a mitzvah. You do something to the bria. You give it surah, you give it a certain form. Who do you give form to when you do a mitzvah? What do you give form to? To yourself. When a person sits and learns, he gives himself a certain surah. He's chaymer. A person is dust, a person is earth, a person is nothingness. But he gives that chaymer that Hashem created, he gives it surah through his learning, through his davening, through his chesed. A person gets surah, and that surah is what remains. When it comes to Olam Haba, the chaymer disappears. What remains is only the tzura that a human being gives himself in this world. Because the chaymer goes back to, the dust goes back to where it came from. What remains is only the tzura that a person has. That's Olam Haba. Olam Haba is what you remain with. It's a strange thing that in this world, when we think of ourselves, we look at ourselves in the mirror, and that's how we have a picture of ourselves. It's not us, it's just the way we view ourselves in this world, the chaymer that we are. But what every mitzvah does is it gives a certain surah to a person. That surah, it's a spiritual surah, and you could see it. Somebody who's sensitive, you meet somebody you haven't seen in 5 years, you talk to him for 2-3 minutes, you can see right away, and you can't see exactly, but you can see a little way he's holding in his avodas Hashem. You look at him, you see a person, mamaisa, people, there's a certain ruchnistik surah that people have. Now that's why the Einshim and Olam Hazeh are always compared to Maya, the marble. And Gehenna is always called Eish. What's the difference between a punishment of a flood and a punishment of fire? Because a flood doesn't destroy the chaymer. The chaymer remains after the flood. What happens? If you have a keli made out of clay and you soak it, so it becomes a lump of clay. The chaymer remains. The tzura disappears. So when Hashem brought a marble on the world, it started again. So Hashem destroyed the tzura, the marble remained, and the chaymer remained. But in Olam Haba, it's just the opposite. Fire destroys the chaymer. In Olam Haba, in this world, we can't have a tzura without a chaymer, but in Olam Haba, what remains is the tzura, what a person gives himself, the form that a person gives himself. And that's what Rabbi Chanan is saying. Rabbi Chanan is saying that when a person is mekayim mitzvahs in this world, when a person puts in a little more time into his learning, a little more effort into his davening, the person goes out of his way to do a chesed to somebody, it's a tikkun in the person. It changes the person. The person remains with more. That's the entire avayda of Olam Hazeh. The whole avayda of Olam Hazeh is a short period of time that we're in this world. We're given chaymer because you can't act in this world unless you have hands and feet and eyes and a mouth. But it's a short-lived thing. Bodies don't last very long. Eventually a body disappears. And what remains? What remains is the tzura that you give yourself. The tikkun that there is in the kiyum mitzvahs. It's an investment. A person sits and learns that the investment that a person gives himself. That requires the b'payel. That requires the b'payel for it to happen. So this is the yisayid of the Ran. The Ran's yisayid. That every mitzvah, you know, it's always nicer to talk about mitzvahs than to talk about aveiros. You know, we like to feel good. So you feel good when you talk about mitzvahs and giving yourself a good surah. You know, you can talk the same speech about aveiros and what it does to the surah of a person. You know, the abizyainis and the ilam ha'emes. There's no question. All the Bali Mashava agree that a person can be very embarrassed in the ilam ha'emes. So you have somebody who comes to yeshiva and, you know, he splits his pants. It's very embarrassing. Try to get home as soon as you can. Right? Very embarrassing. So imagine you have someone who came and he forgot to put on pants. No? It's extremely embarrassing. Come to yeshiva, you realize you're not wearing pants. Very busyness. No, I don't know, there are people who don't have pants. You know, they just didn't get it. There are people in Olam Haba who have, you know, in this world, there are people who live in fancy neighborhoods and people who live in slums. There are people who are very poor and they're ashamed to take their friends to their house because it's a very poor home. But in Abba, there are also slums and nicer homes and fancier homes. What you have is what you give yourself in this world, whatever tzura you give yourself. Whatever a person is kind in this world, that's what he has. If the person dies, the chaymer is gone, that's it. And whatever tzura you created, that's what you have. You know, the abizyon is there too. If the problem is there, you can't, you know, come to yeshivas, you could quickly run home and put the pants back on. But, you know, over there, it's hard to get the pants once you don't have pants, you know. So, you know, they're gogulim. People come back to this world. It depends what they're missing. But it's bizyanis. The avoda, you have to think of it that way. When you do a mitzvah, it gives you something. It increases the bank account. When you do an avoda, you know, it takes it away. So that's the site of the Ran, of Ochanan. Ochanan is the beginning of the Kavitz Mamarim. It's about page 12, 13 in the Kavitz Mamarim, and it's also printed in the back of Yevamitz in the Kavitz Haaretz. This is a aside from the Tshuva of Adam Rishon. Let's talk a little about Cain. Totally different message from Cain. Cain and Hevel. We don't understand exactly the level that Cain and Hevel were on. They broke Karbanis Takadosh Baruch Hu. We're not talking about two fighting little kids that fight all the time. We're talking about some Anshei Kodesh that were on a certain Mila. And nevertheless, the Torah is given to us to understand on our level. We have to try to understand a little bit of the message of the story of Cain and Hevel, of actually the chait of Cain. Cain came to kill his brother. You know, for me to come to kill somebody, you know, if you watch TV and you know you hear about killing people, so you can think of killing people. Someone who never thought of killing people like you. So the Bali Mashavas say very strange things. If you look here in Rashi says that Cain brought pishtan, he brought flax. So the Maral on Rashi says, right, so it says Cain brought flax, and Hevel brought sain, brought wool. That's why Pishtan and Semer are shatnas. You can't mix it together because Cain and Hevel, you know, it doesn't mix. What it has to do exactly, we have to understand. But the Maral says that when Cain brought Pishtan, because Pishtan is somehow symbolizes Cain. It's a symbol of Cain. And when Hevel brought Semer, somehow that symbolizes what the Hevel stood for. It all needs explanation. The Michtam Elio and Chelak Dalid talks about it a little bit in page, I think it's 177, 178. Without getting into the Pishtan and Semer, I'd like to explain to you a little bit on our own simple level. After this, you can try to go back to Mr. Melio and understand it a little deeper. But there's a very important aside that we have to be aware of. A Bechar. Cain was the first Bechar in the world. A Bechar is something special. Isn't a Bechor something special? B'ni Bechor Yisrael. Hashem and Pastor Shemayis, Pastor Rabbeinu comes to Parai. So you should know Parai, B'ni Bechor Yisrael. Yikai Yisrael is my Bechor. His Rosh Hashanah is the whole Bria. We're the Bechor. Bechor is special. Bechor gets a double chalik. And a Bechor was supposed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, if not for the Ma'aseh HaEgel. That means there's something special about being a Bechor. Bechor is the firstborn. He didn't do anything to deserve it. Just, you know. But a Bechor is a Bechor. It's something special. Yeah. So I'm a Bechor. I'm sure many of you are Bechorim. So there's something special in being a Bechor. Right? That's all in theory. Lamaisa, it seems that every Bechor is a flop. If you learn through Chumash and Navi, the Bechorim flopped everywhere. Starts from Kayin. If the Bechor, he messes up. So from who does the world come? Comes from Shay. They go next week, Pashas Noyach. So, who do Yidden come from? They come from the Bechor. So the Pasuk says, Shem is Chem Ves Yafes. Oh, Shem is the Bechor. Rashi says, no, Shem is not the Bechor. Put him first, because he was the most Chashim. So it wasn't the Bechor. No, so Avram was the Bechor. No. Yitzchak was the Bechor. At least he was the Bechor to his mother, not his father. Yaakov was the Bechor. Yaakov wasn't the Bechor. David HaMelech was a Bechor, the youngest. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Bechor. Shmuel HaNavi, who was a Bechor? Who from the big men in Klal Yisrael was a Bechor? Seems just like, yeah, I'm a Bechor. So what do I get for being a Bechor? I could say I stand there Pesach. Anything else? Right, if you're Yisrael, so there's a Pidyon HaBen. Of course you also have a mitzvah. It's not a small thing, it's a mitzvah. But there's almost nothing, you know, like, in theory, being a Bechor is great shakes. Big deal. Lamaisa. In the lamaisa of it, every Bechor seems to flap. Who's the Bechor of the Shvatim? Ruvay. No, so what do you have from being a Bechor? So, you know, Pachas Kamayim al Taisar. Ruvay lost the Bechor, he wasn't Kayin. Kuhuna when Levia went to Levi, who wasn't a Bechor. Malchus went to Yehuda, who wasn't a Bechor. And Bechorah went at least to Yosef. Yosef was at least a Bechor to one side. But then Yosef has two children, Menashe and Ephraim. So who takes over? But Yosef says Ephraim, let's name Menashe. You know, so even there the Bechor loses out, right? Menashe is the oldest. No, Menashe, you're second. Ephraim goes first. It seems every, you know, it's a very interesting thing. Every one of the Bechorim, Yaakov really had four Bechorim. He had his Bechor was Reuven, but he had four wives. So who are the Bechorim in the Shvatim? It was Reuven, and it was God, and it was Dan, and it was Yosef. Yosef, who became Menashe of Ephraim, so was Menashe. You realize that all four Bechorim messed up the Nachla and Eretz Yisrael. Some more, some less. Who are the three that took Eber Yarden? It was Reuven, God, and Chatzisheva Menashe. Right? They saw Eber Yarden, they liked it, they took it. The three that were the Bechorim. They took the Chelka Bechorim. So they took Eber Yarden, which the Rabbi Shem was not happy with. Chazal say, Nachla Mevuhelas Barishayna. The Bechorim, Reuven, the ones who took Eber HaYarden, Nachla Mevuhelas Barishayna, it was a Nachla that was taken by Bahala, Gamachwisa Lo Savarech, wasn't benched. They were the first ones to go to Golos, Eber HaYarden. So who was left Don? So I don't know if you learned Navi. You learned Yeshua, so Don also, Don wasn't happy with his chaylik. So Don went, so Yeshua said, you want more? Go up to Syria and capture part of Syria. So you have Don, also took a part of Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz. So you have four Shvatim, isn't that a coincidence? All four that took part, that were not part of Eretz Yisrael proper, they're all the four Bechorim. What's the Nakuda that, what's this business with the Bechorim that it seems that every time something happens with a Bechorim that it seems to mess up? The Kayach of a Bechorim is a kayak of Gevura. Bechor is Reish Yisayini, a certain freshness, a certain overachieving. That a Bechor, not every Bechor is the same, but that's the potential that a Bechor has. And the Maral Vlosh in the Bakayin is that Gevura is Pishtan, for whatever reason Pishtan is Gevura, and his Mida was a Mida of Gevura, which is a Mida of strength, and Rai Ruvain was Pachat Kamayim. Reuven was Pachas Kamayim, he rushed to do whatever it is that he rushed to do. The Midah of a Bechor is a Midah of It's like a type A personality, a person who jumps into things, who rushes into things, who's eager, who's very active, not lazy. I will say, you know, Bachar is lazy, so you know, see what he's lazy for. It depends where you are. But Lamaisa, the Mida of a Bachar is to be a doer, is Gevura, to be active. That's the Mida of a Bachar. And it's a great Mida. It's a fantastic Mida. And by the way, why women don't have Bachar? A woman who's a firstborn doesn't get any extra chalik, doesn't have anything. Even the little bit that we have, but by the Kavis, it doesn't apply. I, Reisha Saini, applies to a Bachar. But no, the Mida of Gevura is a male Mida. A woman is passive, a Mida is to be passive, a man's Mida is their activity. So the Mida of a Bachar is to be active, to be a doer. So why did all the Bacharim flop? Every Bachar that flopped, at least to the extent that we see it, that it's revealed to us in Tanakh, every Bachar that flopped, you go through all the Bacharim, it came from being people who couldn't hold themselves in. They got interested in something, aggravated about something, if something became important to them, and the Bahala, they rushed to do it. That's what happened to Cain. Cain got upset, got aggravated, he rushed to kill. Rashi says he didn't even know how to kill people. At least he should have went and asked the Shiloh, how do you kill somebody? So Rashi says he didn't know how to kill him. So he went over to Hevel and he squeezed every part of him until he found it. If you squeeze the throat long enough, so he discovered how to kill people. But he rushed, he went with a rush. And that rush was the rush which caused the problem, Ruvain. So we find three mistakes that Ruvain did. Right, that Alisa Mishkavei Avicha. That he rushed when Rachel died, he rushed to move Leah's bed into Yaakov's tent without asking, without doing. He covered on the Emai, he ran to do it. Right, that's and the second thing is what he told when he wanted to go down to when Yosef was in Mitzrayim and he held on to Shimon. So Yaakov said, I'm not sending Binyamin down to Mitzrayim. So Ruvain said, Shnei Banai Tomus, let my two children die if I don't bring Binyamin back. So Rashi brings it that Yaakov told me, kind of shaita you. Shnei Banai Tomus, you think I want your two kids to die? That's how you. But that was Ruvain immediately. Yehuda came later, Yehuda thought it out, and Yehuda came with whatever proposition he made. Ruvain knew immediately. The same thing, the Shvatim, Ruvain and God, they saw Eva Yarden, it looked good to them. They were interested, you know, they have people like that. First thing they see, they buy. They rush into it. They buy it. They don't go looking at it, all the possibilities. They rush and they take the first thing. That's a midah of Pachas Kamayim. So Ruvain saw Eivar Yardin. He didn't even see Eretz Yisrael. You know, they saw Eivar Yardin. It looked good. They grabbed it. What happened with them? Maybe Eretz Yisrael is better. But that's the rushing into this. That's the midah of the Bachar. And that's the midah which Nachlam of Uhelas Barishayna. It's a Bahala. Gamachrisa Leisavara. You'll ask me a kasha. If Bachar is a bad Mida, so why, in theory, is Bachar such a good thing? Why? I'm telling you, Bachar is not a good thing. It's Pachas Kamayim. Something which bats him is no good. So why do we talk about it like it's a good thing? The answer is that, of course, it's a good thing. In Ruchnius, it's a very good thing. The problem is when it's misused, when a person rushes into things without making the proper Ruchnistik Echeshbainis, it's bad. In Olam Hazeh, it's not good. In Olam Haba, in a world that's Kulei Ruchni, Bechair is good. In this world, you know, Ruvain, he ignored the Ruchnius of Eretz Yisrael. He saw Kulei Mashka and he grabbed it. In Avodas Hashem, Pachas Kamayim is a good Midah. Pachas Kamayim, it happens to be in the Brachas of Yaakov Avinu. But Al Taisar, but you can't be the leader if you're Pachas Kamayim. But rushing and jumping into things is not a bad thing. What a person has to do with the Reish Lakish. So Kayin was the Bachar. In a perfect world, it's great. Pachas Kamayim. In an imperfect world, in a world where people get angry, it's a very bad thing. Talking about us, I think we don't have a problem of too much Pachas Kamayim. When we get angry, it's a problem. But in Avodas Hashem, we need more of this Avodah of Pachas Kamayim. Whatever it was that Kayin had, Kayin used it for something bad. But this mida of gevura, of being able to run into things, we need more of it, not less of it. We need to have a proper mida of running into things. I'm not just talking about the usual musashmuzn, about, you know, coming to seder on time and getting to davening on time, you know, pachas kamayim, jumping out of bed in the morning, that's pshita. But I mean that the mida of Reuven made a mistake. He took over a yard and he shouldn't have, it was rechtias. But in Gashmias, pachas kamayim, if you go to the store to buy a suit, so, you know, I also go to buy a suit in the store. I also go buy a hat in the store. And I see people there, yeshiva light. It takes them hours. Maybe not hours. It takes them an hour to find the right hat. I don't mean waiting online. I mean, you've all seen it. You look at one, look at the other. You know, you buy a suit. It takes people a very long time. The chassanim have to get apartments. You know, it's a necessary evil in life that a chassan has to get certain things. You know, that's where pachas kamayim would be a good mida. When Reuven went to the store, so he got a hat, you know. So he didn't look at 16 hats. He looked at the first. No one takes the first one. The guy in the store already told me. I went to my kids. He'll give him the first one, the wrong size and the wrong shape, you know. Because the first one I could take anyway. So, you know, it's like a waste of time to, to spend your effort giving him something good. So, you know. But the mida of a bachar, where you put ruchnius first, is a good mida. To be over-involved in gashmius is not a good thing. A person that has to use that mida in the right place. People, and it's not rishis, it's just a misplacing of values. You're a chassan, you have to get an apartment. So you look at an apartment. Let me tell you, what do you have to look at? If it's an apartment in the 21st century in Brooklyn, whichever apartment it is, it'll be fine. It's important to you is only one thing. The color has to like it. Now, if she likes it, everything else will be fine. If she doesn't like it, you're finished. It doesn't matter. If you think it's a great apartment, she doesn't like it, don't push your luck, you know. The worst curse that could happen is that she listens to you and you take it. Because if she's unhappy, you're not going to be happy. You know, a chassan's job is let his kala look at some apartments, and he has to come in and say, wow, it's perfect. It's just right. And you know something? It is. People have this problem that there's a job of looking for apartments. It's a nourish case. It's a nourish case, you know. The chaver of the apartment isn't what makes it a happy house. You know, it's a tzura. It's what you give it. Alright? A woman has to be happy. She spends a day in the kitchen, so she has to be happy. But for guys to get over-involved in hats and shoes, and, you know, it's too much. And probably what I do is also too much. But so I've talked to myself about it too. But there's a point where it becomes absurd, where it becomes ridiculous. I mean, I'd kidei kama, you know, until how much? To my own kids, I can't tell this. I take my kids to the store, let them look and look, you know. The father has to humor his children. But the MS is that it's absurd, it's ridiculous. I guarantee you, whatever you'll buy, you'll be fine. I mean, you're not going to listen to me at Kadei Kachi, just going to tell him, put the hat in the box, and I'll take it home without putting it on. So, you know, whatever you'll take, will be fine. Your first choice, your second choice, your third choice, it'll be okay. It'll be okay, it's not going to... And I guarantee you, your shoes, it doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter. Even if you're still single and you have to go on dates, she's not going to care what kind of shoes you wear. It's not going to matter. And whatever shoes you have will be fine. With a pointed front or a square, it doesn't matter. But you have to wake up and realize the mida of gevura, of a bachar, is self-discipline. It's to be able to go into things quickly. It doesn't matter. A lot of these things don't matter. You know, a guy gets married and, you know, people get carried away when they get married. They get carried away with looking for things, with buying things, with getting things at just the right price. You know, you're in Kail, you have to, it's true, you're in Kail, you want to buy things in a place where it's cheaper. But for a guy to get so orangutan in it, you know, there's some guys that are totally, I am not joking, a young man who's learning in Kail once asked me a shayla. Is it mutter to go to ShopRite and buy corn flakes when it's on sale, and the next week to return it and they give you the regular price back? He asked me Mitzadina Geneva if that's butter. Right? So he said, Mitzadina Geneva, of course it's Oster, I mean. But is that the point, is the Geneva? The point is, like, where's your head? Are you sitting in Kyle, that's what he's thinking? You know, how he can make the, you know, cornflakes, he has a coupon, he can get 50 cents off, so he buys it. And later he says, I don't want it, he returns it, so they give him the price plus the 50 cents. So this is where his head is. This is why he's being supported to sit and learn. His mind should be on all these ingenious ways of getting, become very rich from it, you know. Spend your whole day in Shabbat, you get very rich from it. But people get carried away. You should know, you can laugh at it, but when it comes to Maisa, you can easily get sucked into it. The Kaya, the Midav Bechaira, Bini Bechaira Yisrael. What's Bini Bechaira Yisrael? What is Bini Bechaira Yisrael? Lechtech Acharaiba, Midbar Eretz Laizaruah. That's the whole Bini Bechaira Yisrael. The Kaya Yisrael went, they left Mitzrayim, they ran into the Midbar. Believe me, they woke up the next day and they said, what do we do? Went into a place, I mean, later they complained, you know, there's no water here, there's no pizza shop at lunchtime, there's nothing here. It wasn't easy. But that's Bini Bechaira Yisrael. That's the Midav Bechaira. Be able to jump into things. What does that mean? That means if you're shopping for a chavrusa, don't jump into something. You have to think. What's the best chavrusa for you? You try to decide what masechta to learn. Don't jump. You don't jump into ruchnius like that. You have to think. What's the best thing? You're looking to buy a house. You don't just jump into buying a house. You have to look a lot. But not only look at the house. You have to look at the neighborhood. Is there a place to learn? Is there a neighborhood where people sit and learn at night? Is there a mishmedrash at night? Now people spend all their effort, they're looking for 5 years for a house, finally they buy a house, then they say, hey, is there a place to daven around here? Yeah. That means what are they doing? They're shopping for a house and what are they looking for? Yeah. So you know, I was looking for a house 20 years ago, so we wanted to buy in Borough Park. Borough Park then was yeshiva belt was mostly in Borough Park. We couldn't afford it, then Flatbush was much cheaper. We decided on Flatbush. So we saw a house. So my father, all of a sudden, said, okay, you have to check it out. He'd like to check it out. So what did he do? He didn't look at the house. He drove down the block. And he looked if they were from a Yidin. So my master, he saw Chassidish Yidin lives on the block. And I said, okay, they're from block, it's fine. Yeah. That's how you case a joint. That's how you look for the house. You know, you're looking, it's a from neighborhood. It's a place where people learn at night. But no, people look, you know. If you get a marble bathroom, a plain bathroom, or that's why we have wives. They look at all the narishkeiten, and they're happy with the house. You know, they make sure, and you know, the husband has to worry about paying the bills, and about gashmius, and about being able to live in the house. That's really it's all. Hachas kamayim, the kayach of a bechar is a tremendous kayach. Whether you're a bechar or you're not a bechar, the Rashi says that all the brachas went to all the 12 shvatim. There's a lesson to be learned. There's a kayach of pachas kamayim. Kayim was the bechar. The world should have continued from kayim. But Kayim made a mistake. He used his kaiches in the wrong direction. He used his kaiches, instead of using his kaiach of pachas kamayim to ignore gashmias, he did just the opposite. When it came to gashmias, he cared. The nicest things he kept for himself. Right? He went to bring sheep to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So he went and he made sure the nice ones he brought home. I don't know if he had a wife. He didn't have a wife at that point. But you know, he brought home the nicest things and then he brought everything else to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So he used pachas kamayim in the wrong area. But Pachas Kamayim is a tremendous kayach. It's a tremendous power that a person has. You have to use it in the right direction. Gevura is a power to ignore the narishkeit, to ignore the silliness. A man comes home, and you know, and he's in a rush. He's not in a rush nowadays. He's not in a rush. So he has to have his priorities right. You know, supper's not ready. He gets all upset. You know, Pachas Kamayim. That's not Pachas Kamayim. Doesn't mean that you should be able to eat. Pachas Kamayim means that you should be able to be nice. You should be able to have proper shalom bayis. That's pachas kamayim. You should be able to rush into things that create the right whatever's ruchnius with a cheshmi, whatever's gashmius. That's the kayach of kayin. That's the kayach of a bachar. And I think that if you stay tuned to what a bachayra is, and you learn nach, you learn whatever's to a bachar, you'll see it's your side, and you'll see that it fits in already. In many places where it talks about a bachar, it's not David's oldest brother, fits in beautifully. Where it talks about bachayra, you'll see that this yisai, the pachas kamayim, it really fits in well. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.